I presume you can now remember the Arkham Lodgkin. What are they? Yes?
Arkham, Papal, Pushpay.
What do they mean in English?
Oh.
I thank you and I like it.
Washing, drinking, flowering.
Drinking is first, actually.
Drinking is first. Drinking is first. We had a discussion on it. We weren't quite sure which one came first.
Yeah, I got a phone call from the other half of we a couple of months ago asking me to straighten that out.
Oh.
So I still have a message on the phone. So the other half of we and I agreed that whatever drinking is first, because that's the translation of Oregon, especially. It seems appropriate. So what?
Drinking, washing, offering of the flower.
See him looking at the shrine. He reels him off in Tibetan real good, but he's watching the shrine here. He's really
And then there's the incense.
Yeah.
Obviously. Aloke for light.
Then what?
Aloke.
Yes.
For the light.
Yeah.
Gandhi.
Yeah, for what?
I'm not quite sure. I forgot that one.
Anybody?
Perfume water.
And the last one? Nalija, what is it in English? Food.
And shabda, which is
The sound. So why is water for drinking first?
To quench the thirst. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Both of you, yeah.
Quench the thirst for desire and craving.
Quench the thirst, especially the thirst of the future, moving into the future all the time, becoming. And then when you sit, how hard it is to just be present, just bring the mind to one point. Hello. Do you know that? Have any of you actually noticed that? Anybody in this room ever meditated? Should I take that as a no? Well, let me tell you. The hardest thing to do is to bring the mind into the present from the future. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
You sit and for a couple of, what, maybe a couple of breaths, I'll be generous.
Very generous.
You actually hold the mind and are actually watching the breath, and then you start thinking about, well, yeah, I have to remember to do that today, and then you bring the mind back, and then you start thinking about, is it true?
Yes.
Is it true?
Very intense.
Then you see, that's okay, that's all right, that's a very beautiful skill, that skill of living in time. It's a very, very beautiful skill. The problem with it is our reality.
Sorry?
It is our reality, not the reality. The future is a probability or a possibility. It is based on the result of many seeds of activity ripening with the present supporting circumstances. Do you understand that? All of the past causes, the effect of those will ripen. Of the future, based on present supporting circumstances. Part of present supporting circumstances is your mindset. For you personally, in your life, a major part. And when you're mind is going into the future, it means there is a certain part of the present you're guarded against, you're not open to, you find it boring, you're habitually not present, you don't trust yourself, you don't trust the present, you have no sense of anticipation and excitement, there's a lot of fear, right? You're greedy, you're lustful, right? Is that right? Am I right? I mean, are you different than me? Hey, no. I'm looking.
Someone.
Oh, yeah. Because I just look out and I just see my eyes looking back at me. That's all I see. So I'm only just telling you, you know, in my blindness, what it is I'm learning, what kind of respect I'm learning. The number one bowl, water for drinking. Because first you have to bring the mind out of going, what is called in Buddhism, from try to correct the incessant sense of becoming. Becoming. It's the second mara, the mara which goes on and on. You know the four maras? Second one, the mara which goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So that really, literally, some people when they die, they don't realize they've died. Because they're not here anyway. We laugh. Could be you.
Possibly. Could you go over the four maras?
First mara is seeing an event and believing it to be real. It's the mara that stops the mind. It's also known as delusion. And delusion is a very interesting word when you check its etymology. It comes from two roots. First root is to laugh at, to scorn. D, to laugh at, to scorn. Illusion comes from ludere, means the play. Delusion is when you scorn the play because you're fixed on one answer. So your mind is rigid. You know, allow yourself a feast. You know that lovely saying, my way or the highway? I just scoff at it. It's like that. If your mind is fixed on wanting reality to be a specific way, you're scorning the play of possibility. So you just robbed yourself. That's the first illusion. Seeing an event and believing it's real, that is to say it's more real than anything else around. And the example I used when I was talking about this here in Edmonton, when was it? Like 3 months ago or something? I think I was talking about four maras. I was talking about a group of us, a friend and I, were standing at the Dharma Center, at the parking lot area, for those of you who know the center, and talking to my beloved teacher, Namgyal Rinpoche, after a class. And, you know, a couple of other people drifted up, so we just sort of stepped back and made the circle bigger, and then a couple more people, we step back one more, and the circle gets bigger, and then pretty soon there's like about 12 people around. There's still one space sort of by my friend, and so one person just happens to come by and comes and stands beside my friend, and we're all talking. It's all lovely. It's really, you know, a beautiful, nice little discussion, and then we all drift off, and he gets in the car and drives away, and my friend says, "Did you see that? Did you see that? He has to come and stand right beside me." Because the last person to come was her ex-husband. So I said to her, "Who was on your other side?" She couldn't remember. And 30 seconds later, delusion, that which stops the mind. Taking an event and believing it to be real. Now that's a really good example because it's so blatant. But there's a billion and one that are not so blatant, that continuously occur, aren't there? Aren't there? It's not that the mind will take events and create a reality, but the strong belief that that is more real than another reality is what creates a sense of a permanent self. That's where the pain comes in.
That's the only reality available in sense.
It's the only reality that one accepts.
There
are billions of it.
Right, but you think that's the only one.
Well, you think.
But that's the one's available.
You think that one's real.
Yeah.
You think that's what it is. That and seeing an event, a dancing of cause and effect, and believing a reality to it, a fixedness to it. That's the first mara. A second mara is liking or disliking it, that which runs on and on. Just takes the mind off. So you can see that, can't you? That it's good or it's bad. Actually, it's even more profound than liking or disliking. There's a sense of this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is bad. And you start making little rules about what you should or shouldn't do, eh? Isn't this what we were talking about, my friend? And it is so much of what we feel is natural to consciousness. It is probably one of the hardest things to question. And an amazing thing that anyone in the history of all humanity ever actually looked at who it was that was making reality. Amazing.
What do you mean by that? The hardest thing?
An amazing thing that anybody, any human being, ever managed to look at the mind that takes an event to be real, that thinks it's good or bad. Do you find yourself believing that things are good or bad to us?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see your mind do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see your mind pick which events you don't see?
Sometimes I can.
Because that wasn't my question.
Oh.
Can you see your mind?
Yeah.
You can.
Oh.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Let's see your tongue. As long as a tap on wire! Wow! Are you giving me the right answer? You think you're giving me the right answer?
Well, the first time I thought I gave you the right answer. Sometimes I can see it and sometimes I can't. Mm-hmm.
You thought you gave me the right answer?
Then.
Right answer to what?
How I felt.
How did you feel, good or bad?
Neither. Just that sometimes I can watch my mind play that game and sometimes I can't.
Whose mind?
My mind.
What is mine?
Okay.
What is that?
Uncle.
I give.
It's an event that is believed to be real. Within this frame of reference called my, I know what you are talking about. That is to say, I have chosen to accept certain of your words because they fit into my sense of what is already right. And if you don't agree with me, I'll just sort of disappear a little bit, but still pretend to keep talking. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But imagine being able to see consciousness that creates those answers. Consciousness not limited to a sense of self. That's a very different ballgame. I don't know if you're grasping what I'm saying. I'm talking about something that is a field of consciousness, which is boundless. Manifesting in a body, in time and space, and operating in a totality of consciousness. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, you have the Buddha, for example, giving talks in the 33rd realm, Kemet. How does he do that? Well, because it's present. Some people find it difficult just to believe that this house is present. Only the relationship of their body, physical body, what they accept of their physical body in the room. You know, can't imagine like the attic, you know, or the neighbors. You know, that sense of the self is so powerful. Do you understand it? Can you get a little glimmer of what I'm talking about? It's like a powerful thing to consider that way. It really means give up that sense of self, the reference point. You don't just give that up, you know. That's impossible because that's just another reference point.
I have given up myself. Oh, congratulations, here's a crown for non-you.
I don't think so.
the Dalai Lama was commenting on this. And he was saying that for most people, we need to accept the fact, even though they have a whiff of non-self, that they are a provisional entity of changing, but they have some sense of being an entity. Speak to that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. There's a very strong sense of being an entity,
yeah,
of being a self.
You can provisionally accept that you are a passing entity.
Why would you provisionally accept that? As long as you provisionally accept that, okay, you provisionally accept that, and then you let it pass, and then you provisionally accept it again, and then you let it pass, and then you provisionally accept it again, like beads in a rosary, let go of grasp, let go of grasp. Are you talking about that way once? Like beads on a rosary? Moment, let go. Moment, let go. Moment, let go. Provisional, let go. Provisional. Is that what you mean? That's true. The continuum. There is a continuum.
There is a
continuum. Don't screw me around with your clinging to a provisional idea.
You have.
It's a lovely thing to say.
Well, I'm just exploring.
I know. I'm just pushing you a little bit.
Yeah.
And we both knew that. I knew you were exploring it, and you knew I was pushing you.
Well, I think I'm just talking from a very.
This is something that you have heard that feels right to you.
I was talking from a very provisional base.
What does that mean, provisional?
From a very.
What do you mean, provisional? I don't understand.
Well, I'm talking from a very partial view. What I'm trying to say is that.
You said it very clearly.
You get a whiff of non-self.
Yes.
Seeing the flux and the flow.
Yes.
Then you have to navigate in it.
What do you mean you have to navigate? And then there is a self again.
There is a self again.
You don't have to navigate. There is a self again. The self arises. There is a bead, and then there's a gap. And a rosary? There is a bead, and there's a gap.
So it's an unchanging. Well, you're saying the self is an ongoing continuum?
It's a continuum. I never said ongoing. I said there's a gap. So provisional, sure, is provisional. But from the experience of that provision, in between the gaps, you know, the experience of the sense of self, Are you actually listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I believe you? I don't either. What did I say?
You said there's a gap between the sense of
I said, but in the experience of the provisional self, is there a memory of the gap? So who is the I who is playing by that experience? That I. That sense of a self, the sense of a self is a very interesting phenomenon. It is provisional, and it is continuously arising out of space. That's why all the sadhanas start that way. Space, and then a vibration arising within it, which becomes a radiant energy being. An identity, which then dissolves back into space, and then there's a sound, a vibration, which again becomes. So there's a provisional self. There's no, neither one of those. Why I'm being so picky on you, my dear friend, is there feels to me like you think that the no self has got a little edge, you know, a little more guilt-edged stock than the self. But that isn't true. That isn't true. Clinging to the idea of a permanent self.
I thought I was going to say that.
Oh. Okay, you want to treat me places?
No, I'm just going to say it. Okay, we're here.
So it's the permanent feeling of the provisional self that creates the suffering. That's what you were going to say, right?
Yeah, permanent feeling of it.
Yeah.
Permanent sense of a permanent sense of self.
Yeah. Now, for example, some of the higher. Maybe it is. Maybe there's no emphasis. In some of the higher teachings of Shunya, where like you go and you do these long retreats of it. One of the things you're asked is to, whenever there is a sense of self, to feel it and try to analyze what the main quality of the feeling, the felt sense of it is. That's all. Not get rid of it, not, you know? Just when you feel like yourself is really there, have a sense of what that self is. Because you know, when you're really interested in something, there isn't a sense of a self. There's just a wide openness. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Or when you're happy, you don't really have a sense of self. It's a moment later you say, I'm so happy. Now, isn't that curious?
Well, you get totally absorbed in something, you know, time just disappears.
Well, now don't you dare be philosophical on me. Either you sit up here and give the class, or you actually listen to what I'm trying to point to. Right. Which do you want to do? What?
I'm just trying to clarify it for myself.
Okay, but yeah, that's right. There is a sense of absorption, you can say. Or if you turn it around more and look at it the other way, there's a sense of openness. Right. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You accept my language?
Yeah.
And when there is a strong sense of a self, it isn't open. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're asked to start to explore shunya or no inherent self as a serious meditation where you're actually meditating on what is the self, you're supposed to look at those moments where it isn't open and define the quality of it, the mental feel of it, the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you find? I'll cut it short and give you the answer and you can play with it yourself. You know what you find? most of the time, the sense of self is based on emotion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. It's the space you're in.
Does that go back to your second mara when there's this a fixed
yeah.
reality of
yeah.
right and wrong? There's an
yeah.
emotional investment to
yeah.
determine, I like this, I don't like that?
It's yeah, it's actually more, and I am in error to say I like and I dislike, because like and dislike can be present without there being an emotional attachment to good or bad.
Okay.
There can be a sense of dislike, and there can be a real interest in how dislike affects the sense of taste, for example.
That's more discriminatory. It's like
yeah, it's know. Discrimination in that
yeah.
case, which your cells do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a totally different thing. So, not so much like and dislike as good and bad, and much more of an emotional flavor to it.
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah. And so then the third mara, is that okay? Have I been too cruel?
No, that sounds good.
You're my long-suffering friend. May you suffer not so long. So the third mara is when you start trying to figure out how to avoid what you don't, what is bad, and get what is good. So that's why I'm like so picky about these things, because as long as there's a slight sense that the no self has got an edge over the self, do you understand
mm-hmm.
I'm referring to? Then the consciousness is keep going to keep going on that. Goose egg chase, trying to get one part of reality and ignore the other part of reality, and it won't work. So out of kindness, I'm a miserable person. Because there's that slight preference, a feeling like you're supposed to get the no self. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So that itself stops you from exploring what is the nature of selfness. You know, does it really, when it exists, is it really a fixed experience? And it's only when you actually turn and explore the sense of self that you discover the quality of shunya within the sense of self, that you get the one taste. Not if you're trying to get the non-self. Bliss does not equal awakening, to put it more succinctly. Happy is not the same thing as compassion. It's not the same.
It's nice. I personally like it very much.
But it's not trustworthy. So when it comes, lap it up. Don't stop. But when it goes, don't cry. Say, okay, what is present now? What is present now? And that's what the third mara doesn't do. It starts to make plans to get what is good and to avoid what is bad, which is what that first bowl is, sort of to try to break it at that point. Water for drinking. Cut down the desire to be out of the present moment. Cut down the desire to be ambitious, successful, make everything all right, be hopeful. Cut down, look at who that is not satisfied in the moment. If refuge isn't here, there is no refuge. That's the bottom line. If it's something you've got to get, where are you going to get it? It has to be in your heart. It has to be present. It has to be in yourself, provisional or not. It's not a lot of fun if you're a North American success story who has been trained to always go for what you want. You have to give that up. I understand the sacrifice I'm asking here. Those brownie points are so nice. I've got a book full of gold stars myself.
Oh, God.
I remember one time my friend and I had just finished doing a 3-month retreat, and we were up at the Dharma Center, and my beloved teacher Namdo Rinpoche was doing an initiation, and it was a special initiation that only a few people could go to, but we just came off this retreat, so of course my friend didn't, but I assumed that of course we were two of the people who could go. So nobody else in the group had at that point done a 3-month retreat. We were the first, so obviously we were holy. It was perfectly obvious to me. All you had to do was ask me. I could have told you. And besides, you know, he was inviting people that he just met on the street, you know. And so, you know, obviously we should be there to add a little, you know, class, shall I say class, to the whole event. And so we're sitting in the room waiting for it to start. He comes in and turns around and says, "What are you doing here? Get out." Wrong. He was wrong. But I mean, he was often wrong, you understand. So out we went. And we're sitting looking at the sometimes Zen garden. At the Dharma Center, the sometimes Zen garden. And my friend and I are sitting there, and we're sort of scrawling with sticks in the sometimes rake sand of the sometimes Zen garden at the Dharma Center. And my friend says, "Well, like, how many red threads do you need?" That was the initiation. Exactly. What is it that you're going to get if your heart is open? Your heart is open. Here we are. Have your heart open to the self that is present, provisional self that is provisionally present, and for the self that is not present, and for the totality consciousness. And your heart open for the whole experience. Water for drinking. So the fourth mara is when you start making rules and regulations and lining up your friends and creating organizations to go along with what you feel is reality. Then you can move to Alberta and become a politician. Mm-hmm. Or not. And that's when the five, what they call the five poisons, greed, hatred, delusion, pride, and jealousy, really have a field day. Because there is this self to always cling to, and, you know, it's a lot of work. Timbits! Greed, hatred, delusion, pride and jealousy, right here, five kinds. Pass them around. Okay, so the second bowl, is this interesting to you, this review? So the first bowl is what?
Drinking.
water for drinking. I want to hear all of you. Not just watching the timbits come your way. What's the first bowl?
Water
for drinking. For quenching the thirst, which stops you from what?
Breaking free from the present moment.
Going into the future in particular. Yeah. It is particularly to stop you from becoming. The second bowl is water for washing, and it is the feet. It's the dust of the past, of where you have been, that keeps coloring where you think you are. So you let go of the future, you let go of the past, where does that leave you? Interesting, eh? Interesting? Isn't that beautiful? It's so beautiful, those two bowls. Even if you just practice those two bowls, it would be very quick for you to have a much greater state of joy. Water for drinking, water for washing. You just do them during the day, you know? Okay, now I'm going to do water for drinking. I offer it to myself and to all beings, and all awakened consciousness. Just bring myself into the present. Water for washing, let go of the past. Wash out the dust. So then, the next bowl. What? What are flowers?
Unfolding.
Energy.
Energy.
Yeah. Always represent energy waves in your head. You ever seen time-lapse photography of flowers opening? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't they trace energy? Aren't they little pencils of energy? All those petals and stamens. Ooh, there's some light here. Ooh, there's a bee there. Ooh, there's a bee. Just dancing all over, aren't they? Flowers always represent energy fields. Because once you let go of the past and let go of the future, then you actually see that yourself is actually a dancing flow of energy. A provisional self. Exactly. A provisional self. Provisional on which way the wind's blowing, whether the light's more here or there. Continuously creating a provisional self and continuously dissolving it and then creating another one. Mm-hmm. Seeds of karma continuously ripening. So already the sense of a fixed self is much weakened just by those first two bowls. And you actually begin to feel the body as flows of energy. Have you noticed that in meditation? You notice the flows of energy that your body releases? Some of you will have. Next bowl is incense. What is it and why does it come next?
Does it deal with morality? Mm-hmm. And because the scent that the smoke rides upon the energy waves to all areas in 10 directions without any hesitation, so that all beings may receive the
so it acts
with no resistance.
Yeah. It acts appropriately to the surround. Because once you feel yourself as a flow of energy, you realize inner, same as outer. Yeah. And everything on the outer is also a flow of energy. So you actually start working from what I call equal density. So that when you feel the desire to move a certain way, you can also feel whether that door is open or closed, so you don't spend your time trying to knock down doors. Or it's really unskillful to go mad. It's really unskillful to break through. You know Aesop's fables, you know the story about the wind and the sun having an argument about who was strongest? Do you remember that one? And what was it that happened? Who's going to tell me the story?
They were trying to get the man to take his coat off.
Right. And?
The wind tugged and shoved and pushed. And the man just clutched his coat tighter around him. So the sun came out and just shone and shone and got hot and hot. And he took it off.
There you go. That's morality. It's not macho. You don't know what a great breakthrough you've made. It is acting appropriately, knowing the nature of things and acting appropriately. It's the sweet smell of success. If you make breakthroughs, there's probably going to be breakdowns. If there's a war, the conqueror is always in bondage, aren't they? You know that? If there is a loser, there is going to be a lot of pain, a lot of emotional unhappiness, a lot of resentment, little bombs placed in train stations. Huh? It's not skillful. War is not skillful. Breakdowns are not skillful.
You're not doing your meditation properly. Oh, you have gone crazy. That is wrong. Oh, how unskillful of you.
Tichika, tichika, tichika.
Just smarten down here. You need to smarten down.
You need to be appropriate. It's appropriate. It's such a beautiful idea. To treat everything appropriately. Don't think that you're bigger than the world. That it's up to you, you know. If you get on a white charger, go see what where he wants to eat grass. Don't, you know, insist on bellowing into battlefields, you know. That's morality. It's very beautiful. That's what that bowl is. It's a sweet smell of success. All of the, you know, in the Tibetan tradition, they have the seven factors of awakening are represented by these seven different things, like the a thousand spoke wheel and the wish-fulfilling jewel, precious queen, and the precious minister, and the precious general, and the horse, and the elephant, and every one of them, especially the ones that represent strong energy, it always says, whatever they do, they without causing any harm to enemies. Like that is like the key.
Without causing any harm to enemies.
Yeah, without causing any harm. And that's what incense does. It doesn't harm the air, but it spreads everywhere, permeates everywhere. That's skillful. Question?
I was just thinking, if you're not out to harm your enemies, then there would be no enemies, would there?
That's exactly.
No. Okay. I catch the drift of that.
You know, I was really doing. I was doing loving kindness in it for a while. For about 10 years ago, I was decided it was time I did some loving kindness practice again. So I was hot on the trail of loving kindness, doing it really well, and I was doing it the different ways, spatially, and then by species, and then I was going to do it by categories, which includes your enemies. And I got to enemies, and I couldn't think of any. And then about a week later, somebody just came back from Guatemala who was visiting there, and they said they'd met someone there who knew me, and he said, oh yeah, she's one of my enemies. I thought, oh, perfect, now I've got an enemy. It's really nice to, so like you put out the question and then through the mail. So, oh yeah, by the way, if you need an enemy, you can use me. Oh, thank you.
I was thinking of an African proverb too. I overheard a man speak of, "Boy, if there are no enemies inside, no one on the outside can harm me."
That's right.
I really like that.
That's exactly.
Because all the enemies are inside my head.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's very beautiful.
It's one of my favorite ones, actually.
It's lovely. Thank you. So what's the next one? We're almost done. Just about done our review. Everything I've taught you for the last 50,000 years. How many times have I taught the author? A lot. Do you remember the most real gestures for them? No, that rings a bell. some things go in. Okay, well, let's finish this. So what's the next one after the incense? You can all see
light.
Light. And what does that represent? What is there? It's the most obvious. Come on, be obvious.
Seeing.
I dare you.
Seeing.
Yeah, seeing wisdom. Seeing things as they are. Wisdom. Once you act appropriately, then you're actually able to see what things are. See things as they are. If you don't have enemies inside, then they're not going to be outside. You see them as just beings. Or you see things as they are. You don't think they should be different. So at that point, then there is a change, you see, that really represents a change. And the next bowl, the scented water, it becomes really what they call the bodhisattva vow, which is the perfume, the drop of perfume in the water represents the perfume consciousness, the consciousness that is perfumed by love. Because when you see things as they are, you love, there is love present. There's a sense of kindliness, there's a sense of love present. So that is that you are operating in the oceanic consciousness. Perfumes all consciousness. That's the bodhisattva work. Is that clear? And then the last bowl is what?
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways that gets really interesting. It is motive that continues. So I can't remember which Christian father it was who, when he was asked what was appropriate to do, because it seemed like everything you did involved sin of some type, he said, "Love and do as thou wouldst." It's very beautiful. It's very, very much like that. Just watch all of the coming into existence, existing and passing away of all the possibilities, and realize that that is what is real. That is what is real. Motive is what is real. There is only this an ongoing dance of the nourishment of cause and effect. Motive creates cause and effect. So at that point, there is a change, because now the sense of self is not any longer considered to be real. There isn't a clinging to a sense of self. And so then a bell rings. Then the bell is always ringing, but then one can hear it. And the bell is held by Guru Rinpoche, who sits in the middle of the graveyard. The graveyard represents all the things that previously used to be the desires, all of the becoming. Those things are all now dead to you, they're no longer so interesting. Now you're trying to understand motive, not object. Consciousness has turned. So now you hear the bell ringing in the middle of the graveyard. And now the consciousness is moving in what is called yidam, or radiant energy, body, form. So that's what the seven offering bowls are. Now there are a lot of ways of doing the hand gestures. It's like water for drinking, right? There it is, my hands. Water for drinking. And then if you're doing water for washing, you know if you wash your hands, you do that. But this way you just take your right hand and you smear it around the back, your left one around the back. So it's water for drinking, water for washing. Water for drinking, water for washing. Isn't that nice? Water for drinking, water for washing. Just curve your right hand around your left. Water for drinking, water for... Are we keeping you up? Good. Flowers. Because I thought you were certainly keeping your hands down, that's for sure. Water for drinking, water for washing, flowers. That is it. Energy. Water for drinking, water for washing, flowers. Incense is like this. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's the only thing you have to hang on to. Incense. Then what? Light? Light my candle. Life, scented water is a blessing. If the blessing comes out from both palms. And food is the same as water for drinking. Shabda, the bell. Water for drinking, water for washing, flowers, incense, light, scented water. So, but then Andrea and I had this wonderful visitation. Great. She just starts laughing right away. The joy was so much. I had the kitchen table just upstairs here. Just this sudden revelation. You know how channels and revelations occur. It was like that. And we suddenly realized that there was an even more profound and more real. In fact, the more real symbols go like this. Water for drinking. You got that? Water for drinking. Water for drinking. Water for washing. Oh, you remember these. See, now you don't remember what they're for, but you remember these. Now isn't that interesting? Water for washing. Wow. Now incense, remember incense? You got that? Incense. Light. Scented water. You remember these ones very well. I'm really impressed. Food. And the bell.
Bell.
You remember that. So this was a great revelation, wasn't it? And this one of those moments. Epiphany. Okay. Well, now we've done 55 minutes of review. What would you like to talk about? Do you have anything you'd like to explore this time that I'm here? Do you have questions from your retreat work? You've had wonderful, wonderful month, haven't you, of retreat work and classes? No? You haven't? Hello? Is anyone here? I just got off into bliss because it was so good. You must feel very rich from the people that you see. Is that true or is that not true? That's wonderful. So do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints that you want to explore?
It would be interesting to get some information on five aggregates.
And would you like to, yeah, they are really interesting. Would you like to narrow that down a little bit? Why, what approach are you taking to them, or how has the question arisen, or what have you heard that you want to have clarified? Or?
I think that...
like there are books written on them. Which volume? Interested in pursuing.
They just interest me in general. One thing that came up, which I didn't realize, I didn't connect them with the five Dhyani Buddhas at all. So that was very interesting.
And the five elements.
Yeah.
And the five senses.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the five elements. We'll approach them from the five elements here just very quickly, and maybe if you're interested we can carry on talking about that and talk a little bit about mandalas and what they are and why. For the next, does that interest you?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, ask me something else. So we'll just talk a little bit about that just from the beginning. You remember that chant I gave you? What, 6-8 months ago, Iho Shuddhi Shuddhi Nimiya. Iho Shuddhi Shuddhi. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That is a very quick little meditation which one could do that would begin to clarify the emotional conflicts and the ignorance that is interwoven with the five aggregates, with the arising of this continuum. It's a very wonderful, simple little meditation. It takes, what, 5 minutes to do? Does it something like that? You start with E, which is the C syllable for space. That's the Dhyani Buddha Virochana. It's the aggregate of switch between Akshobhya. We'll call it Akshobhya. We'll call it Virochana space, okay? I'll change my mind later. But. And so, in the center of the mandala, you just imagine a mandala in front of you made of 5 circles. The center circle is space. And you imagine also within your own being, just where your spine is, but maybe just somewhere like a shadow reality, there is another kind of spine that's made of space. As the inner and the outer mandala are the same mandala, you work them together. So, in space, the seed syllable of space, E. Can you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Feel the space inside you and imagine a circle of space around you. Mm-hmm. within this space, just feel whoever you are right now. Somebody with an itchy eyebrow, that's who you are. Feel the quality of your consciousness. Whatever intention is manifesting in space, that is who is going to work the mandala. Born every moment out of space, the intention is going to work the five elements. Varochana manifesting as this intention, radiant energy. It varies how they're set up around. Quite in many of the schools, immediately in front and to the east is Lum, which is earth. The way that I have practiced the meditation most often, in front is Yam. Whatever is in front or whatever is closest to you is called the east. Doesn't matter which direction you're facing. Whatever is closest to you is called the east, and you enter the mandala from the east. And that's the rule with Tibetan mandala practice. Okay? So sometimes there are three main elements that you'll find in the east. It almost doesn't matter. It sort of sometimes lets you know what century or what school you're working with. It is either going to be earth, water, or air. Fire is always in the west. I've never seen it not in the west. But what's in the east can vary. Okay? So, immediately in front of you and where you are going to enter, let's put earth there. Lam. And this golden energy, Lam, you know what it is? In the drawing of it, if you're going to meditate on earth, if you're in a Tibetan monastery, you will see this and feel your body as this rather crudely formed jar or vase made out of earth or clay. Rather crudely formed. And in the center of it is a magnificent jewel, which you can't, hi there, you can't quite reach in and take out, right? Because your hand will get caught. And it's not a good idea to try breaking the vase either. So that's the image that you work with, okay? Long. Your body is that vase and that energy and the gold in front of it is considered a good idea to start with the earth. After you do the space, then you start with the earth. Ratnasambhava is the Jnani Buddha. And the next one. If we've done Lam here, then we do air next. And the desire nature is basically air. And Air is how you use all four elements. Air is how the winds blow. Maybe air is less a good definition of it than wind or energy. But wind is the wind quality, it's the movement. And that's yum. Like yum, yum, yum. No, I mean yum. Yum. Like jam, jam. No. Yum. And the symbol for that is, you know what a double dorje looks like? It's like a double dorje, which each of the colors are one of the, each of the what you think?
Scepters.
Yeah, the scepters. Yeah, okay, thanks. That's great. are the colors of four elements, and in the center, where the space would be, is one of those three. A yin-yang only made of three. Have you seen a yin-yang symbol? Have you ever seen one that's actually three? You haven't?
So.
Chinese medicine boxes?
No.
No? Oh, look at Chinese medicine boxes. You'll see one. It's got three little twirlies instead of two. It's just like this. There, see? I love my blackboard. So that's yum, or it's just green color. And the best way to visualize it is like the green of leaves, aspen leaves. When they're just past being new, they don't have that goldy look of new ones yet. They're moving into green, but with the wind blowing them, you know how they.
Shimmer.
Yeah. So something like that. Yum.
Yum.
Feel all the shimmering energies inside your body. So your body is this clay vase with a jewel in the center. The space is the shadow spine moving from the root chakra right to the top of the head. It's also known as Mount Meru. And now the energy shimmering all through it, there's this dancing energy shimmering right through the spine and also through the whole body. So do it again. Yeah. In front of you also the shimmering green. The Ram is the fire, it's on the west of the mandala. Triangle. This triangle is energy either blowing hot or cold, right? This is fire. It either blows hot or cold. Still fire. And the center for that is this triangle in the heart, which is actually a pyramid called the Dharmakara, which is the truth of fire, the steady, powerful energy of it. Which burns up all duality. Sometimes if you're working with that one, you can also feel like there is this inverted, four-sided pyramid around you, huge, you're in the center of it, like a tent, and it's a red, and it's vibrating, and you're suspended in the center. Sometimes you play with that. Now I'm totally gone into the elements, and tomorrow I'll talk about the five Kriyani Buddhas. Okay? I mean the aggregates. Okay? Is that okay? We'll just carry on with this for the moment. I just sort of just sidetracked your question, but I just caught myself.
It's all fine.
Okay, I'm glad. Thank you. I'll go more thoroughly into what you actually asked. So then we have bomb, water. This is a flower, like a lotus, in the middle of a pond. It comes from the mud, and it travels to the surface of the water, and then it goes above that. Don't forget that. And the quality of the water is that it brings... the lotus comes up from it, and also the lotus is held, nurtured, and contained, and the water shapes around the lotus, and then the lotus is also reflected in the water. The quality of water that you're looking at is the reflective quality. And all of the water in your being, all of the tides and pulls that reflect all of the experiences that you have ever gone through. That are continuously the shapes and the oceans and the tides and pulls of experience that continuously reflect everything that has ever occurred in the history of whoever made you. Mum is the seed syllable. You can imagine your genetic code maybe singing away all the possibilities of every DNA. Washed whiter than snow because there's nothing you're separate from. A high priestess is a virgin in tarot because it's impossible to make her impure. There's nothing she's separate from. Water. It is from her robe that the water begins. Actually, I would love to do some work with the elements again. It was our first work, wasn't it? It was the first retreat Adria and I did together on the elements. I used to do them a lot. I used to do them in Ottawa and Toronto. We used to often. I don't know how many times at the Dharma Center you have a little group of people sitting around a fire.
is there a chance?
All saying rum.
Well, is there a chance we could hear some talk on the tarot while you're here?
Well, we could do that next time. We could actually, you know, we could actually play around with the Western Mysteries form sometime. Would that be interesting?
For me, it would be, yeah.
You know, that's actually in some ways a lot more conducive to a particular way of exploring that doesn't, you can't do as well if you got somebody sitting here and a bunch of you sitting there, you know? Because, like, I'm the one who gets to pick on you, and, you know, the weight is uneven, isn't it? Huh? You notice that? I mean, I know I'm much more brilliant and all that stuff. But oh,
thank you for
God. Thank
you.
But a Western Mysteries a kind of format is a beautiful way to explore tarot, and I just happen to have lots of notes on all of the Western Mysteries exploration of tarot that we ever did in Kinna, which covers about 12 years. And I kept very good notes. I was looking at them there in Victoria, but a friend of mine is coming for Christmas from Victoria and could bring them all. So if somebody wanted to be along here to type them up, we could go from there. Would that interest you? Would some of you, maybe not all of you, might be interested in that, but if you are, why don't we consider forming, or at least maybe Sunday afternoon or something, those people who were interested in talking about Western Mysteries, like, what time is the puja? Is there a puja on Sunday? Mm-hmm. What time?
There's a board meeting in the afternoon.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
This would be more fun.
Yes, really. No, I'm patriotic. How preferential. How provisional. Well, I'll look at my schedule and see. Or maybe tomorrow night after the class. Or Saturday night?
About
Saturday night after the class, we'll just meet for like 20 minutes, the people who are actually interested in that. And we'll start, I'll give you some ideas to start discussing and have format to play with it. Does that sound good?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because that, I think it, you know, I think there are a lot of things that a Western Mysteries format would offer to the Edmonton group, don't you?
Yes, I do.
That would be a great idea. Yeah, thank
you. I'm fascinated by the tarots. I just thought I'd bring it up if it was possible to just talk on it. I wasn't quite sure.
Some talk is sir. Like talking about the I Ching, you know? So it's basically the Western I Ching. And the beauty of it, like that whole sense of all these different principles, but how they interact and which ones are working together, you know? It's all by chance. Shuffle the deck. And then you get this arrangement, fold it up, shuffle the deck, and then you get this arrangement. These principles as they appear this way, these principles as they appear this way. And so it's much more, if you're going to try, if you're going to try to manifest in a literate way, the dancing energies of the archetypal universe, you would have to do it with pages that weren't bound and call it a deck of cards, or a book of changes, have a way to move through them that is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that you can see that in the I Ching, it's done by, you know, you throw your changes and then you look them up. They're held in a certain order, but the changes are thrown. And with the tarot, there is no binding on the book. So, but they are basically, you know, the same basic type of system. A wisdom book, just like your own body is, this dancing series of archetypes and what's manifesting now and what's manifesting here. What seeds of karma are ripening? Why don't you want to hear them? That's interesting why you don't want to hear them. That's interesting. What's reflecting that? It might even be fine. It might not be good. It could be a belly laugh. It could be. It could really be. You might actually like who's there. More than you like the one who's pretending they don't like himself. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It's a, you know, an outside chance. I don't want to make it sound like it's actually that way. I think that's enough. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Say yes. And yes.
No. No. I meant yes, though.
I said yes, I meant no, I meant no, I said no, I meant yes, I meant yes, and I meant no, maybe. Well. Push those around the room again. Oh yeah, let's start here. Okay. Who brought these? Did you bring them? Bob sent them. Look at that. There's no candles in them.
Your imagery.
No, it's my birthday. It was
no,
my
no, but
it was my birthday, and I didn't get a cake, and I realized why when I came here, why because I was waiting for here, and then but it can't be because there's no.
Oh, we can fix that.
I'm 2 years away from being old enough to move into my mother's apartment building. That's downright exciting.
Staggers the guy.
Staggers the guy.
Just thinking about it.
And getting free money every month.
You're not going to.
No,
soon?
It's another five. Yeah.
Can't you offer?
Oh, you're watching your slow one.
Can't you offer your 65?
You can receive.
I thought you could always see 50. I'll
try one. Susan, is that right?
I think I have worked enough so that my, I think I get something like $5.63 a month.
That's good.
Was that tax?
That's a regular income. Look at it that way.
Yeah. Tim did a dig.
Exactly. There's no complaint here, folks.
Every month, as long as there's no postal strike, you will get it.
About the time you start getting your monthly checks, I'll finish getting my baby bonus.
There you go.
Yep.
Something else we don't have in common. So you know, it's just very, very beautiful. Do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints? I take complaints. I think I've been doing too much Manjushri. I'm getting a little too sharp. Change my meditation.
a little too thing. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Scorpio. So however I've caused you to bleed internally, please forgive me.
Just a provincial song.
Provincial? Provisional.
Just a province we're in.
Provincial.
Oh, very provincial.
Questions, answers, comments, or complaints? So tomorrow we'll pursue the five Jnani Buddhas and the aggregates. Is that good? I'll try to give you some advice on how to work with them that could be pragmatic. You could use in your daily life. Is that good? In the meantime, you notice there's a very beautiful light in your heart. Gold, beautiful light, it shines through your body, pours out through your pores, above, below, in front, behind, goes through walls, to the right, to the left, four quarters, moves through the earth. It just boundlessly moves and has this loving energy to it. If there's somebody in particular you want to pray to, you just in that core, just imagine it watching you. And you think that whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by this meeting and shared with all beings, and there's a downgoing of something. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is no suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is no suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is no suffering. Thank you for your great compassion.